Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, we are here on Tea Time, and it's Jason Lee.
Woo!
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to them.
You've been here before?
I mean, I've seen the show, so I feel like I've been here before.
There you go.
No, it's welcome to you, welcome back to you.
Welcome back.
What I was trying to say.
Very good job, babe.
And yes, many of you may know him from Love & Hip Hop, his podcast.
And we know him from the award show.
Yeah, they aired last night.
They did.
And everybody online is having a moment.
The Impact Awards aired the other day.
And you are the founder.
I am the founder of Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards. So we created this show. So I was on VH1 on Love & Hip Hop. And then I was on MTV Wildin' Out. And I'd been on there for years and wanted to go to the VMAs. And they said no. And I was like, okay, cool. I think her name is Kelly. I don't even know if she's employed over there anymore.
Probably not.
Hopefully not. She should fire her. But she said no, and I just didn't understand why I couldn't go, being that I had invested so much on both of their networks. And I was like, you know, as Black folks, we got to stop waiting for somebody to give us some. Just go create it. So I said, no more going to award shows. I'll just create my own. But instead of it being competitive in nature, oh, best dress, best movie, mm-hmm. best song, I want it to just be an honors where we honor people for their contribution to the culture. And so whatever their impact is, we broke it down by category, and then was that.
So smart. Such a good show.
It's been interesting to watch the reaction, because this is the fourth year that we've done it, now going into the fifth year. The first year was at this club that we just pipe draped, put some flowers in, and it was cute, but it was very nice, actually. But then, like, the evolution of it now to the ballroom at the Beverly Hilton, and yeah, fantastic. It's special now.
You know, we left that evening and both said that that was probably hands down the best award show we'd ever been to.
And also one of the most beautiful. Like, a lot of award shows are so typical and basic.
Yeah.
Like the wallpaper and like the screens were fantastic.
It was beautiful. It was interesting. I didn't get bored. I mean, so many of those shows you're sitting there, you're just like, oh my God, can we go home already?
Take me home.
And it was impactful.
Yeah.
Hence the title. But I mean, it really, like, I don't know. I just left feeling awesome about it.
Well, it was very intentional. I think that, one, I hate going to award shows because you're sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and the resetting and that. Like, we do our show, shoot, from beginning to end, we just run and shoot it. And we want, you know, we try to create a vibe where there's lots of love in the room. You did come to me and say, this is amazing. So I know you believe what you're saying. I know you mean mm-hmm. it. And I appreciate that, because there's a lot of love that goes into the details, all the way down to the floral. What does the floral look like?
The flowers are amazing.
What's the energy? Who's sitting next to who? Who's honoring who, and mm-hmm. who's presenting to who? You know, so that was very intentional. This year was just different, because I feel like we're in a place right now with cancel culture where everybody's getting canceled, cancel, and everything is negative and doom and gloom. And me as a culture critic, sometimes I participate in that because I have big opinions, and people say, well, you're part of the problem. I'm like, yeah, but you can't get enough of it. So, you know, and y'all can't keep stop doing shit. So we're all in it together. But I think for that night, and then Tiffany, and then you all being there, and the brat, I mean, just Christian Louboutin, just it was a special night.
Yeah. Sharon Stone,
who didn't Megan know that Good. She was getting honored.
That
was
awesome.
One of the best
ones.
Yeah. That was amazing.
You are running a campaign for city council.
Yes.
How is that going?
I'm beating her.
Yeah.
Brutally. No, it's great, because I was saying online yesterday that to be able to run the streets of Stockton, now go back and run the city of Stockton.
Ooh.
I mean,
that's a campaign
that's
slogan.
Full circle.
My campaign manager, you saw him, 7 years old, Malcolm Bell. He's a star back home. He's speaking
cute
at dinners with Rihanna and standing on stages with the Raven Simones of the Cardi B's of the world. But, you know, what it's really doing is it's showing him that anything he wants to be, he can be, and showing other people that, like, young people's voices matter. I have a youth-focused agenda, and I'm literally basing every policy idea I have around the future of young people and reinvesting in the next generation.
Dem or Republican?
I'm a registered Democrat, but let me just say this. I am a Democrat with some conservative views. I'm socially liberal, but I'm fiscally conservative. And the whole country is fucking tired of Republican versus Democrat. We just want women to be able to do what they want to do with their bodies. We want people to love who they want to love. We want folks to have access to voting rights. We want there to be fair and equitable opportunity. I mean, that's the world that we should all want to live in.
Okay, so we want to do something a little fun with you.
Sure.
Because we have Jason Lee on Tea Time, so we want to spill some tea with Jason,
Jason Lee.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to do like a little bit of a rapid fire.
Okay.
You down?
Shoot.
Okay. I'm giving you $1 million towards your campaign.
Yeah.
Where are you going shopping with it first?
Towards my campaign. Well,
just kidding. I mean,
yeah, with those rules, I can't go shopping.
I know. Okay, fair.
Trying to get me locked up already. Damn. You know, damn, I ain't even got elected yet. And people keep saying, you know, they're going to get. So I interviewed D.L. Hughley. Hold on. Shout out to D.L. D.L. comes on my show. We have this phenomenal interview. We talk about the running for office. And then right when the camera shuts off, he goes, you know they're going to try to get you on an indictment. She just tried to get me set up on an indictment.
I did.
Where are you going to go shopping with $1 million? Where did it come from? Halliburton? Shit, the NRA?
It came from us.
Oh, if it came from you, you've exceeded my campaign contribution. So now we're all in trouble.
Well, okay, but it's a dream. It's just like a.
Where are you going to spend $1 million?
If I had $1 million, I would spend $9.99 getting my opponent a new job because she's not good at this one. So I'd start with that because she definitely needs the help finding something else to do. I mean, she's treated this whole role like a hobby. Mm. You have like kids dying in the community, no healthy grocery stores, smoke shops, liquor stores surrounding schools. You have people dying. This guy literally got murdered about 3 weeks ago. My friend's son, shout out to Sharita Hayes. And then they went and shot up her house and shot our friends who we grew up with two days later. And the city's silent on it. So like $1 million, I would probably put towards banning those smoke shops and liquor stores and like finding ways of inviting new business to the city to put healthy grocery stores in this food desert community.
So you don't want Dave Chappelle to come through and be like, liquor store, drug store, you don't want that anymore.
I would, if Dave Chappelle was to come to Stockton, I want him to go and say, what's wrong with you niggas? You know, like I would like Dave Chappelle to be Dave Chappelle. And the thing that's making me win back home, I think, is that this guy said to me, he said, when you run, please don't run as a politician. Because, like, we are exhausted. Just be you. Like, be you, flaws and all, because we all have flaws, you know? And just be you and be very clear about what you stand for. And I think that's relating to people.
Megan Thee Stallion or Megan the Markle?
Who's Megan Thee Stallion? Meg, you know I ain't dealing with you.
OT, tell us why.
Well, first of all, she doesn't return my calls anymore, which is fine. And everybody watching this is going to go, oh my God, here he goes trashing Megan. I am not trashing Megan, trashing Meg. I'm just saying, like, with her, I never really know where we are. Mm-hmm. I love Meg, and I supported her through her whole shooting thing with Tori. You know, I was cool with him. I was cool with her. I am just a platform. I'm not taking sides. Right. I report what happened. So she doesn't return my calls anymore, which is fine. Mm. I've kind of given her to God. I wish her the best. Her tour looks great. Her body is banging.
She is. Give her to God.
I love her. I do love Meg. But I love Megan Markle more.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Why do you love Meghan Markle more?
This is super controversial.
I am so infatuated with that love story. I'm infatuated with the. How she just shook the monarchy up, and she was probably walking by them hoes like, bitch.
Yeah, she was.
You know,
and then
she got her family up out of there, like, we out. Like, you just left the country.
Montecito, here we come.
Yeah, I every time I go on Piers Morgan, he has this weird infatuation with her, and so, like, I'm ready to defend her every time that he gets going. I don't know, I like them. I like her. I she knew what the hell she was getting into.
She did, and she was prepared.
She had to be.
She was, well, you know, she was a paralegal for a while. She knew what to do.
On Suits.
Doesn't
she
matter.
She acted like a paralegal.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
Now Viola Davis, is she one too?
Yeah, exactly.
How to Get Away with Murder.
Hilarious. Viola Davis is a queen.
I love her.
She is the first queen king.
We Y'all saw her. Yes, but when we saw her at that Oscar gifting suite event.
I love that
And
woman.
She came up and she was just like, so happy to see you. I was so happy to see her. It was a love fest.
Yeah, no, she's everything. Okay. But you were asking, which one do I want more?
I think you made it very Meghan clear.
Markle. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
But no shade towards Megan Thee Stallion.
But all the shade. Keep going.
Yep. Is it Kamala or?
Kamala.
It's Kamala.
There it is.
Yeah.
See, we told you.
Get the names right. Can I just say that I'm so fed up with people disrespecting Kamala? I mean, I understand the different layers of it, right? She's a woman, so there's that. She's a black woman, I understand that. She's a DA, and we have our thing in our culture with the police and all that. she's created new energy in this whole election process where y'all thought y'all were just going to shit on the Democrats because Joe Biden didn't know where he was half the time. But now y'all don't let her out the cage that the administration put her in. And now you're having to deal with her. But I love Kamala. I'm excited to watch this debate that's coming up.
Do you think that it's actually Kamala or Bette Porter that's running for president?
Is Bette Porter a speechwriter?
Hilarious. He's a gay man.
It's a guy.
No.
Oh my God, Bette Porter is the most lesbianist, beautiful woman.
Wait,
on
is
the
it a
L
woman?
Word.
Have you seen the L word? Obviously
no.
not. So the L word, you know it.
I don't really get around much lesbians. That's why I'm here.
That's you know, thank you.
You know, I stay in the G. That LGBT shit gets real reckless. And people think that the L's, the G's, the B's, and the T's be hanging out at potlucks.
They do not.
We all got our own shit going
very
on, right?
True. Yes. Very true. The lesbians stay in the closet, huh?
Right. And the T's think we ain't doing enough for them. And the G's just, and the B's, B's, y'all just all don't know
they're
where
everywhere.
Y'all at.
They're everywhere. They're with, we don't really hang out with many L's or G's.
No,
really?
We got to figure that
but
out.
But here's the deal. Yeah. So Bette Porter, played by Jennifer Beals.
Okay.
Is one of the most iconic lesbian characters. And she is so hot. And she is literally,
type.
Yes. Oh,
it's light-skinned.
It's a thing. It's a thing. I have a very specific type. And
me
it's
too. I get
very
in
consistent.
Trouble for it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the way that those two women look alike
and command the stage
is so exciting. Mm.
I agree with you. People are coming for Kamala in such a way.
I know how to say her name.
I know I'm going to say it correctly. This is not a part of Rapid Fire, but I do want to ask this question.
Yeah.
Is it smart that she hasn't done an interview yet?
No, I think it's horrible. And in fact, people online, because I keep posting her, because I'm happy that every girl who looks like her gets to see her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that we now have somebody that can go against this narcissistic, mean-spirited,
misogynistic
troglodyte of an orange peel that we have
troglodyte.
To look at every day.
Exactly.
And so I like that energy. However, Charlamagne Tha God, who's a good friend of mine, I saw he sat down with...
I saw this on CNN.
ABC.
ABC, sure
Richard
was.
Richard Carl. He sat down with... And he said that she needs to go and do interviews. Charlamagne Tha God. So the criticism that I've given to Kamala that I'll say now, although... On one side, I'm happy that she's running. I think she's brilliant. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's all that. My criticism is she raised $300 million in the last 2 weeks and has spent nothing with Black-owned media. So you can't talk about DEI. You can't talk about inclusion and diversity when you're not even making sure that your campaign is diverse in how you spend that money, because that's how you keep Black-owned media, Black narratives, Black voice, Black storytellers alive. So there's that. The other thing is I think that I can write a speech and wow the world too. But, like, you need to sit down and answer questions. Like, we need to know.
Yeah.
We need you to clear your record that we know is clear from what we can do in our own research, but people need to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw J.D. Vance the other day just randomly walk up to reporters and say, and said, you know, he criticized her saying, is she ever going to talk to you guys without doing a speech?
Yeah.
I think that criticism is warranted. And I'll tell you a story that I kind of told a little bit on my podcast, but the White House called me and they sent me an email saying the White House would like to have a call. And I thought, like, first I have to make sure my taxes are good. Like, where did I fuck up, you know?
Not go through your own background check real quick.
Oh, I hit all my team. Like, we're in the fucking White House. What the fuck we do? Did anybody say anything? So when they got on the call and they had the whole symbol of the White House behind them and they were all buttoned up, I said, and this is exactly what I said to them. I am not the nigga you call when you just want a nigga at the table.
Yes,
I don't go to the potlucks and barbecues. I need to be a part of the fabric of what you're doing. So that way I'm not just there as a prop. And they loved it, invited me in, and I got all the chicken waffles and eggnog I can get at all their events.
I'm gonna pour this water on top of you.
Listen, it was, I got more Christmas cards from them than I have from my own family. And I love it, and I feel like I appreciate that because it's acknowledgement of my impact. However, I kept saying, like, can she pull up for an interview? So I want to talk to her. I want the people to see her. I want, you know. Then she invited me to coffee. We sat down. I brought the owner of the Shade Room, neighborhood talk. All my colleagues. We all came to the table and said, "We speak to a billion Black people a week. We'd love to help you." No follow up. And then they confirmed for her to come to my studio and do an interview. And then they invited me to go to Africa with her. And then they canceled like 2 days before the interview. So I canceled Africa, and they just couldn't believe that I wouldn't go to Africa with her on her plane. If I want to go to Africa, there's a bunch of flights leaving daily. I can go anytime I want. I can afford it. I don't need to go to Africa on Air Force Two and like sit down with the vice presidential napkins. That shit doesn't move the needle for the culture. So when I canceled on her, I had to educate them that as much as you believe I need you, you need me. And now That's Charlemagne told me, wait till that vote comes around. They're going to be there. And now that the black vote is necessary, here we go. It's this circus. And so I'm not, I don't want to be guilted into saving democracy, even though we understand how much is at risk right now. But it's like, y'all put us there.
Ooh. I don't want to be guilted into saving democracy. Well, goddamn.
That's what's happening.
That is what's happening. Jesus, I wasn't prepared for a follow-up. You just spit but some
we,
shit.
But like, on one hand, we have to save democracy, but it's like we should just want democracy because we're involved in the process. There's reciprocity. There's engagement. There's real. It feels real.
But she also plays the game. She knows how to play the game. Look at her vice president pick. Look at the person that she was under when she grew. We do have to say from her people, she has a very diverse group of people behind her. And pushing it, but very young as well. Yep. So she's really focusing on that internet vote. She's really focusing on trying her best to combat the social media aspect.
Yeah.
But like you said, if you really want to get in the trenches and do what Obama did and keep that momentum up, you got to go back to the Chitlin circuit appropriately and not just use it when you need to. But I think she's on a different mission. You know, she's really focused on the middle class, not necessarily a particular culture, culture or color. Mm-hmm. She really brings out the LGBTQ people a lot in the healthcare. So I wonder if she's not particularly extremely worried and really focusing on those things, because to be honest, and I love her to death, and I don't watch it as much, but I don't stay abreast of the political world when it's not an election season, to be 100, but a lot of her speeches sound the same. And I remember watching Obama and I was getting something new each time. What I mean? It felt like it was off the dome.
Thing over and over.
But see, Obama, like, so people don't realize that, like, when I went home to run for office and people were like, oh my God, like, he's not just a TV guy, like, he's actually dialed in. I spent 11 years as a union organizer. So, like, I worked at every level of the union, from staff organizer all the way to staff director. So I understand, like, the granular details of campaigning and then, like, the macro. I think Obama was an organizer. So he knew how to code switch. He knew how to roll up his sleeves in any conversation. If he was with the basketball players, he can go shoot some hoop and talk some shit to the cameras. If he was with, he knew how to do that. I think with her, and I think until you go into that White House bubble, it was the Biden-Harris administration. She worked and served under his administration. So she was pulled back for a long time and kind of had her assignment. And now you see her unleashed, you know, a little bit more. But I feel like what you're saying, like, in terms of really connecting, like, right now she should be the unifier of everything.
Yeah.
But speaking directly to every single group. And, you know, I don't know. We got 85 more days. It's 85
around,
more days.
It's around the 80-ish time.
No, it's eight. Well, same day.
Well, we could sit here all day talking about this, but we have more rapid fire. Okay. And this is a really
this is the longest rapid fire.
Yeah, it is.
And I love it.
This is a really important rapid fire question. You're doing a reboot of Annie. Are you casting Northwest or Blue Ivy?
Blue Ivy's going to cut somebody out. I don't want to see Blue Ivy. No, I mean Northwest. Northwest going to cut somebody out. So I would cast Northwest. Yeah.
Jason.
Blue Ivy gets everything. She gets everything because of her mom and dad. By the way.
Really? And Blue and Northwest nothing?
No, Northwest doesn't even get really. Well, she's on TikTok.
Did you see her at the Hollywood Bowl?
Did you see her at the Hollywood Bowl?
No, what did she do? First of all, her mother has. Keep this in. Her mother has no talent. Think about it. Like, she's. I love Kim. You know I love you.
Her mother has business sense.
I love you, Kim. You know this. Chris, you know. Last time Chris texted me, she threatened me.
Oh! Yeah. Why?
Because she thought I was going to be scared of her. Ain't nobody scared of you. Here's the thing.
Oh, my God.
Kim Kardashian has no talent. None of the Kardashians have talent. They say being themselves is talent. Well, it's not talent. But anyway, so I love the fact that North is kind of giving you, like, she ain't got all the talent, but she got her daddy genes in her where she don't care. And so she shows up like, I'm going to give you my talent that I got, and I don't care if y'all don't like it. I like that.
You like that?
I love her. Yeah. Blue is safe. Blue is just somewhere rich with her Grammys. She's being unbothered. She's going to get an Instagram at some point like her mom and put out a picture with no caption and then just take it. By the way, I was at Bossa Nova last night, and there was this girl that looked like Blue Ivy and another girl that looked like Janae Aiko having dinner together.
Ooh, hilarious.
Ooh. Yeah, it wasn't them,
though. Oh, fair.
It was like the Fashion Nova version.
I don't know,
Jason. The Fashion Nova version.
I just have to say, I think Blue Ivy would kill the Annie role, and I think that Northwest should be like Matilda. Northwest should be a Matilda, and Blue Ivy should be
Blue would
Annie.
Kill it in terms of acting, but like, I want the train wreck.
How are you guys?
You know, first of all, Mason, you know Mason.
Mason who?
Is Courtney's son.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mason and Penelope are going to be in the front row like this. Because all they do is flip off cameras.
The Hollywood Bowl. No, yeah. They were all there.
Were they there?
They weren't doing this, yeah. But they were all there.
They probably were.
They be flipping. Them kids be flipping.
But here's my question. How do you two know with such confidence that Blue Ivy would just kill it? Because from my perspective, Blue Ivy was on tour with her mom and wasn't killing it and then had to learn.
Oh, the beehive. Oh, I know. I felt them. I am the pulse of pop culture. I felt the internet shift.
I know. Right now. Now they're coming for me. They hate me so much. But
bees, all in the comments.
But no, she. What I thought was really beautiful, beehive, before you sting me to death, is that
I've gotten that stung before.
She was being kind of, you know,
groomed
shit
and
talked.
Trained.
No, but she improved. And there was she like did. This marked difference of like, wow, she took the constructive criticism where she heard what was happening and then she elevated. She learned. Yeah. And by the end of it, she was owning it. But I just want to know what you guys have seen her act in, where you know she would do so well as Annie.
Because she does take constructive criticism. And unlike other people that we're naming, her parents are probably very, very aware on how to communicate with their daughter on, listen,
because they're so talented.
Take this, get better.
Yeah.
You can get better as you're getting in front of the public so that the public's growing with you and we're not incubating you first like normal people do in the industry, being that you're being incubated in front of the public at the same time. I think she's smart enough to take the criticism and take acting classes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's been many of actors. Didn't Rihanna take a voice class after she already had 3 hits? And she was like, I wanted to do this one song and I needed a voice. Something, I don't know if it's
I'm
a rumor.
I'm gonna take this clip and send it to her. That's right.
Wait, isn't that true though?
How did she do it?
No, not gonna do that. I just wanted to sing a song.
That is so not even close to Rihanna.
But anyway, is there another rapid fire?
Wait. But I think Blue Ivy's parents, like you said, they have real talent. So like the audience that shows up for them shows up because of their talent.
Yes.
Not to see them, you know.
Well, the internet just like absolutely.
Because only Khloe Kardashian would make money from a show called Revenge Body after she like did everything to get the body. Like,
honey.
Anyway.
But the internet like raked North over the coals. It was really, really bad. Oh my God. People were coming.
Show me again. No. Leave it in, please. If y'all didn't see the off-camera reenactment, there needs to be a cam, just the bullshit.
It was really
cam.
Good, babe.
It was great.
But here's my thing, too. Being somebody who's been in the industry since as young as I have, knowing that the world is ruthless, is it fair that her parents put her out there like that?
They didn't care. Without. They were so happy. Kanye was there in the audience the whole time. That family kept her in that bubble, went home, and we were like, you did the best job ever.
But I grew up in an industry where you weren't really allowed to talk about kids until they turned 18. Mm-hmm. And that is now out of the window. Yeah. Now everyone is up for grabs. And we talk about mental health. We talk about body image. We talk about safety and all of that and community. But we here now are just like, you know, talking about someone that's younger.
Yeah.
But I'm also coming from a place of, I was in rehearsals from, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 o'clock in the morning at 5. You know what I mean? Like, where is that discipline in order to give her a leg up, knowing that you yourself didn't do any discipline?
Well, you were in those classes to become trained and skilled, not famous. They live in a world where it's a boot camp of fame. And fame, as we know, is not only an addiction, but it is a disease. And those people suffer from it. They all have the disease. And unfortunately, they're passing it down generation by generation, which is why you have little kids flipping people off and doing all kinds of other shit that we would have got our ass kicked for.
Immediately.
And I think in May, stop doing that. Like, please, you could flip somebody off growing up in my family. You would have got your ass beat by auntie, cousin, whatever. And I think that, you know, and again, it's kind of sad because, like, to know Kim personally, like, privately, she's beautiful without makeup. She's a nice,
she's
smart woman.
She's so beautiful.
The fact that she's using her platform
to. She's a great heart.
Yeah. But then it comes with all that other shit, too.
Okay, the last rapid fire question is natural or a little bit of neurotoxin?
I definitely have a GED. I don't know what the fuck that is.
No, period.
No, what is neurotoxin?
It's Botox.
Oh, shit, I got it right now.
It's just the fancy name.
Is that what
Botox.
It's called?
Yeah,
it's a real
neurotoxin. Baby, neurotoxin.
Spelled all the way across
neurotoxicity. That's what's going on. Neurotoxin, fillers, threading. I do. Oh, yeah.
You do threading?
like three times. I'm turning 47 on Friday.
Yes.
So yes. Oh yeah.
Okay. So give us
47. You look, don't have well, a he's line.
He's black.
My mama white though.
I know, but he has white in him.
She's like, I have hope.
I'm like, yeah.
No, 47. Yes, I'll be 47 on Friday.
Put
yes.
your hand in this pot.
Okay.
At tea time, what we do is we actually pull something out of the pot okay. and talk about it.
All right. Cool.
Tell us what our topic is today.
Is there something in there?
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, there's. Okay. I see it right here. Our topic today. Happiness.
Aw, that's a good topic. Happiness. Your outfit makes me happy.
Thank you. I love color.
What makes you happy?
Well, I think it's a choice. These days, what makes me happy, being left the fuck alone.
Preach!
Like, I am at an age and a place in my life now where being at home with my dogs and nobody else in my home is peace and I'm happy. I'm going through this whole campaign and I'm like, so somebody calls in and says, hey, have any family members come out yet? I'm like, no, my family is solid. My family would never. Here they come. You know, but I'm learning. Mm. But I'm at a place in my life where, like, Jason Lee, the person online, don't give a fuck. He says what he thinks at the time. It's an evolving experience. Those things change. Sometimes it's hurtful, I guess, depending on where you sit. But it's honest. And sometimes it's blunt, but whatever. I'm not perfect. So when people do it to me, I literally don't care. When people attack me or say whatever online, I just kind of look at it and laugh and, like, whatever, go to lunch. But happiness for me now is, I think, just being left alone. Not in the sense of what they say online, because I don't care about that. But just, I want to just be at home in peace.
But you also said that you're in your 40s. I mean, that comes with age, right?
Yeah, yeah,
that
for
comes
sure.
with education and living. And you've had such an interesting life.
Yes,
I heard something that there were three P's of happiness. And it was peace, purpose, and pussy.
Well, you had me at the peace and purpose.
So we got the two for him. So it wasn't pussy, but it was
penis. No, it's fine.
Yeah, it was. There you go. Exactly. It's interchangeable for whatever you need. Yeah. But
privates.
I think that peace does bring happiness, and if you know what your peace is, what where you find your peace, you will have happiness. What
What's the other happy? Two P's? What's the other two P's? I wasn't paying attention.
Peace, purpose, which is important. That's like work, and I think work does bring happiness. And then I don't remember the third.
Oh, because it was either obviously
pussy
privates.
Or penis. Privates, there you go. Or well, prosperity.
Privacy is also, I mean, I'm sure you know more than all of us, but like privacy, I never had to think about privacy early on, growing up and doing whatever, then getting in the business, then being on this side of it, and now then starting to be on that side of it. It's like, you know, but that side of it is teaching me more about this side of it. Because when I see people go through things that I care about, that I like, or that I know, like Tiffany, what we've saw seen her go through, or whatever, you're like, wait a minute, hold on. So it shifts how you do the storytelling, I think. But privacy, I love privacy too.
And you know, I say a lot of people go, my God, they make so much money. I'm like, they're getting paid for privacy.
Yeah.
Because certain people, Beyonce, for instance, she can't go to a store up the street. She can't fly on a Delta airline. Right. You know what I mean? The money that she's making will pay for her semi-anonymity again, that privacy again, you know what I mean? So it's like it balances itself out. What makes me happy? What makes me happy, honestly, is the same as everybody else, just a day of rest and peace and like a good TV show and like no bra and a meal from my wife and the dog licking my toes. Like that's just a good day. Just period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like it's, I love working, I love directing, I love doing all of that. It's wonderful. And again, that's a different kind of joy.
Yeah, yeah.
That joy gets placed in another box.
Yeah.
Then I keep that there, close the door to the garage, that stays outside, I come in and I have another kind of peace and another life. And then that's also happy.
And that's also a different kind of happiness, right? You're talking about like the happiness that comes with just like getting to chill and relax. And then I think there's happiness that falls more into categories of like how to build it in your life. Like there are people who are like, I'm really not happy. And what could I do to make myself feel more happy in my life? And you'll hear people then say, you know, kind acts will build you, will build self-esteem. And then in building self-esteem, you feel that you have more purpose. And then having your purpose makes you feel better about yourself. And then you find yourself happier, resting, exercise, eating well, not drinking. I mean, there's so many different things that people will say, like, will make your brain actually happier.
What would you tell someone?
Oh, the other day I was at my house and a friend of mine was getting a haircut. Barber came over, friend was getting a haircut. And I laid down and I fell asleep. And I never take naps. I'm not a napper because I always feel like I'm going to miss something. Like, oh my God, like the world's going to do something while I'm asleep. So I don't nap. I took a nap for about 45 minutes and I woke up and I felt so well rested. I said, oh my God, I needed that. And then I went to bed early that night and slept 6 full hours. Oh, wow. So that felt good. But you know what's interesting? The other day, because I moved back to Stockton where I live now, most of my time, and I come to LA for work or whatever, but I threw this community event for National Night Out, and about 700 kids and their families came out in the park. And I had these slides on, and I took the slides off when the band was playing, and I stepped on the grass. I had a whole moment where I had forgotten what grass felt like, because I have been working grounded. So much and moving so much and flying around and travel this and that I had not had my feet planted in the grass. So I walked around for the rest of the day in the grass, and it just felt good.
Did you walk around a lot as a young boy?
Oh, yeah. My mother, she was on drugs, so she was in and out a lot. And I wrote about this in my book. I have a book called God Must Have Forgotten About Me. I'll get you guys a copy. Thank you. But I talked about how when she used to be out and, you know, in the streets, I was at the time 6. My sister was 3. And I used to have a key. And I, 6, 7 years old, I was in and out the house with my own key. Imagine that.
Wow.
You know, these kids now, y'all aren't made like what we were made for.
They don't even have a key. There's a lockbox.
No, they just have it.
It's just the ting, ting, ting. Alexa, open the door. Like,
okay. You know, the first time I saw that, Evan Ross, we go to his house and we get there and he puts his finger in a hole and the door opens. I said, this is some bullshit. This is some Diana Ross and Supreme bullshit. Evan in the fucking finger.
I was actually thinking about you in terms of you shared some of your story on the stage at the awards. And you know, you mentioned your mom and her bipolar. Mm-hmm. And then I know that you lost your brother in a tragic shooting. And then you just explained some of your childhood. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, how did you maintain or rediscover your own happiness during those things? Because you've been through quite a bit of trauma. Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, at a worship, what I learned a lot along the way that's guided me in what I do and how I do, in honoring Jonathan Majors, I got attacked when Hollywood Reporter put online everybody, oh my God, he's honoring domestic violence. It's like, well, Rihanna just hosted a dinner for me 2 months before. So how would I be in that space with somebody who I love so much and who loves me, have 5 sisters, and then be honoring domestic violence? What I was doing was elevating the conversation of redemption. And when do we get that in today's world of cancel culture? When are we allowed to forgive people? And to your point, what I learned through my mother's illness, watching her die, literally sitting there as she was dying and asking me to forgive her after I had already forgiven her before I had said to her, oh, I forgive you, we're good, or I sent her flowers. Because when she was hurtful to us, I was really mean to her for a lot of years. It wasn't to that hospital bed that I was like, yo, like, she literally deserves the peace that she's literally hanging on to life for, she needs. And once I gave it to her, she died the next day.
Wow.
So I learned in that the power of forgiveness, the power that of what forgiveness gave to me. So how I felt relieved forgiving somebody. And then I learned redemption, like all those years that we went through such a tumultuous relationship, she had showed me my whole childhood life that she, with her addiction, she was doing the best that she could. But to me, it wasn't enough for me. So I learned that it may not be enough for you or for me, but it's a person saying, this is all I'm able to do. And if you love a person, you kind of got to go, even though it's not enough for me, or even it's not as much as I would do, I love you enough to understand that that's all you can do. And
it's
I love
capacity.
You.
Capacity.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So beautiful. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Then you have people. And before I say that, beautiful, fantastic. We had Miss Pat on and she shared her history and how she forgave as well and moved forward. And even after that, we didn't get to ask her this question, but we had this conversation afterwards. It's like, I think that takes a certain kind of person though, because not everybody can go what you go through and not repeat the cycle. You could have repeated the cycle, but you instead turned it around. What do you think that is in you that made you say, nah, that's, I'm doing something different?
That's interesting, because in some ways I did though.
Tell.
So I used to condemn my mother for being on crack and heroin and cocaine. I'll never do. I will never be that. And I judged her and I was me and all that. But I drank alcohol.
Okay.
And I drank lots of alcohol.
Okay.
And then I was making bad decisions. And although I was functional, I can still get up and go to work on time, still do everything, hit all my goals, do all this. But I was just partying like a rock star for 20 years, you know? And then one day I woke up, I was like, damn, like in many ways I've become her, just in a way that I've given myself permission to find it acceptable. Like, oh, it's just alcohol, it's not a drug. So I learned those behaviors. I had to, that's why I'm sober right now. A year on my birthday. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, my therapist says, you should be dead on drugs or in prison.
Yeah.
Based on what you've been through. And I really feel like your mind has to be the thing that you invest in, really building up the endurance to go through it, and then like the strength to process it all, but also compartmentalize it to where it doesn't cripple you. And I have no choice. My brother, the day he died, was my going away party. I was moving to LA. I had built this relationship with Queen Latifah. I was going to move to LA and go work for her and do something. I was going to be something. And I had a going away party, and he gets murdered at the party. And I remember the last thing he said was, "I love you." And we had never told each other, because we were just two guys, "I love you." We just never said that. He said that to me and then dies. And I realized at that point that like life is this short and so unpredictable, especially in today's times, that like I'm not going to hang on to shit. I just have to like not, I have to have faith that I can get through it. So faith over fear, and just stay focused and just keep pushing. And I feel like a lot of people that don't find a way out of their dark spaces, they've just given up hope that it can be better. Like it can get better.
Through all of this and through your childhood, do you remember having a strong connection to yourself? Like, did you feel like, I like who I am? Like, even though I'm going through this shit, like, I know that I'm capable.
Did you find joy about yourself?
Yeah. No, I didn't actually, because I didn't, you know, when you're in a group home, foster home, moving from this shelter to this boys' ranch to this, different counselors, stranger care, different schools, different, like, you can't establish friends, you know, and that was at an age of like 8 to 15. Mm. So that's like a real
developmental
yeah. time where, you know, I had no sense of community. I had, my friends were changing, people were changing. So I never invested in a long-term relationship with mm-hmm. anybody, because mm-hmm. you weren't going to be there that long. So when I came home, I had to do a lot of self-discovery. I had to go spend a lot of time at my grandma's house. I had to spend a lot of time in the streets learning what the, how the world was moving. Cell phones started to come out, social media, the internet, you know, oh, I can see things. Oh, you know, so it was more of just like an explorative experience where I was just trying to learn who I was and all that. But celebrity culture was my escapism. So like Prince was my, I was him and Michael Jackson. I was just into them to where I wanted to be like them. Maybe not the makeup with like Prince or the fucking, you know, whatever. Shout out to them. They're both dead. I'm gonna leave them alone. They're both icons, you know, but like I love them, you know.
Stay there.
But I'll stay right there.
Don't touch it.
Slip into some other shit.
Just icons.
But they were just, I loved, like, I could look at a Queen Latifah or a Living Single or you and watch people living a life that, where I come from, it was none of that, you know? So yeah, I didn't really know who I was, but. You know, you figure out a long way.
It's interesting because I had heard something, and the reason I asked was because somebody was talking about trauma, and they were saying that whether you've been through sexual abuse or physical abuse or any traumatic instance, the greatest sadness within those events is that it actually detaches the person from themselves. So it's not that the sexual abuse was like so horrific, although it was, but it's like the really terrible thing about that incident was how much it detaches your own sense of self from yourself, and therefore you kind of become this shell. And I was just kind of putting that into perspective with my own trauma in my own life, because so much of what happened to me was that, was like I would have an instance occur and it would make me lose my own spark and my own sense of self. So then I went through my life for so many years not being my own cheerleader, which is something that I really admire about Raven, because Raven's been through some shit, but it's like she still knew that she was great at the end of the day. And
but,
I think
we talk about that too. That's culture.
That's culture. That is, that's part
a lot
of why
I
asked
you. Don't have time to pay. You don't have time to cry. Get
but
up.
It reminds me of Miss Pat too. And just kind of like when we were talking about the difference of people, where it's like, instead of becoming a statistic or repeating a cycle, you somehow broke through and got yourself out, which is super admirable. And
not only did you get yourself out, you're going back to get others out.
Have to, but here's the deal. So it's how you said I haven't heard it like that in terms of being a shell. For many years, when my brother was murdered, for 10 years, I was a empty walking shell, but also hurting everything along the way, because I want everybody to feel what I was feeling. Yeah. Like I really, like, fuck, like, fuck what you're going through. Fuck whatever is going on. I didn't entertain it. So years later, I did a party. Whitney Houston, I invited her. She came. She sang. She died the next day.
Jesus. Oh my gosh.
Like unexpectedly just died the next day. And a year later, we honored her in Queen Latifah, who had met at 15 at that weird age of like getting out of foster care, figuring out who. She came to me. She said, I said, thank you so much for being here. It means a lot for you to be here. You know, I'm just trying to figure out this entertainment thing. And I had some kids there I was mentoring from back home. And she said, well, I hope that you're doing for them what I did for you, because you have to pass it on. So that always stuck with me. So trying to clean up my mess and figure out how to get on track and not to be this shell anymore, because it is easy and it's reckless to take pain that people inflict on you and pass it on.
It's so easy.
It's so easy. The hard part is, okay, I drink a little too much. I'm just going to stop. Now, the challenge for me is, I want to see, can I make myself stop? So I just stopped. There was no AA group. There's no, I just stopped. And then every day is another day. And then, okay, like, I want to build Hollywood Unlocked. Okay, one follower at a time, 1 million at a time, two, three. You know, so but now it's more of a challenge for me to be the best that I can be. So that way, when I do leave, there are people that can go, oh, man, you know.
But that's a conscious choice.
Oh, for sure.
That's consciousness. For sure. That's a higher being talking through you.
Yeah.
That's your higher self saying, listen, you're going to go through this bullshit.
Yeah.
But if you can hear me and if you are going to listen, mm-hmm. I will bring you above the cream of the crop and you will succeed.
Perseverance.
And not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
And real perseverance and real vision, even if you feel like you had blinders up, like you must have had something in you that was driving you, right? Like, how did you get from being a kid in foster care to now a man who has all the success underneath? Yeah, exactly.
And can, like, talk shit about the Kardashians and not get
without fear.
Fuck them Kardashians. Okay, them motherfuckers ain't nobody. Y'all be acting like the Kardashians. Fuck them up. Here's the deal. I'm sick of them. I want them to go away. First of all, oh, y'all done dated half the men I want. then now you're raising up a new fleet of them.
Yeah.
We
talk about that all the time. So we're like, it's the royal family of America.
Which is even worse.
It is. Meaning like how they're breeding.
How they're treated.
It is the royal family of America. They don't do anything. They just sit there in pomp and circumstance.
Yes.
They look good and we look up to them. And we care
why?
About who they're dating.
Why?
It's because of that ass.
It's that ass.
I want to get some of the phone numbers he has.
Oh, hilarious.
And so I just need to know the steps.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Even though I have the phone numbers, different people like me for different things. Serena, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Serena Williams, I'm going to throw your ass under the bus.
God damn. This is the best name drop episode ever.
I'm throwing her ass under the bus. So I get an email to go meet Serena. And they're like, oh, Serena Williams would like to personally invite you. I'm like, this is fucking spam. She doesn't know who I am. So she invites me to her fashion show. I go. She takes care of me, whatever. And they won't let me go backstage. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm leaving. She sees me. We have a whole moment. We exchange numbers. So I drop my book. God must have forgotten about me. So I text her. I said, Serena, I want to send you a copy of my book. Oh, yeah, I would love to read your book. I send her my book. So she gets the book. A couple months later, I hit her up like, hey, you haven't told me anything. Like, what do you think about my book? And she goes, oh my God, it was fabulous. I loved it. And I go, what part did you like?
Don't do that. That part at the end?
Yeah.
What part did you like? Now, you could at least read the insert, the back. She goes, I'll be honest with you. I didn't read it because I love God, and like your title, God Must Have Forgotten About Me. Like, I'm not going there.
Not the title. Excuse.
She thought the title basically was saying how much I don't believe in God or something like that.
Right.
Whereas the book is all about my faith and how I learned. So the thing inside me that kept me going is God. Like, it's my faith that my foster father, who was a pastor and the first lady, my foster mom, instilled in me and taught me. And although child abuse made me go to church every day, because I don't think anybody should go to church every day. God bless all of you Christians. But it was too much shit. Like, fuck, prayers, like I'm cussing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's too much when you indoctrinate your child.
It's too much, especially a foster kid who has rights. So I did complain to my social worker. I was like, these people got me going to church. But it's God that kept me going, and Serena did not read my book. Serena, now you know damn well you should have read my book.
You could have put it on Audible and just say you listened to it on the freeway, girl. Yeah.
She could have just read the insert flaps.
I said I didn't do Audible when I did my book.
I'm going to need you to do Audible.
You gotta do it.
I went to do it, but that first chapter is so emotional that I couldn't even get through it. I was like, I ain't dealing with that.
Oh, you want to get somebody
else to read it? In Sex and the City?
Who am I going to get to do it? Viola?
Yes! Viola!
You have everyone's phone number in Hollywood. You can definitely find someone great.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Wait, first of all, can you guys come on my show when I go back?
Yes! Okay. Are we in your phone?
Yes, you're in my phone.
Yes! We'll read your book if it's an Audible.
Can I be in your... Well, I can be in your phone too, right?
Can I call you today? Yes. So you're in my phone. Wait.
Sorry, I'm shutting myself up.
Wait, what were we just talking about? What were we just talking about?
You about to ask me a question.
About Bill Cosby.
No, I ain't going to go there.
No, you're not going to ask me a question about that.
I'll save that for my show.
Thank you.
Okay, wait. When you got casted as Olivia.
Yeah.
Was it all love on set or were people jealous? Because you kind of came in and took the show. Should we save that for my show? No, because like when you came on, because you know, I'm fucking 46, 47, like I grew up watching this shit, right? And then I remember, like, it was all about Rudy. And then Olivia came in, and baby, it was like snatched. Scene is done, right?
Cutest. I'm gonna
say it now so that we can take it out if I don't answer correctly. I'm gonna be 100 and I'll find out that answer for you for your show. Okay. I don't remember. Okay. There are rumors that there were attitudes, but I was 3.
Yeah.
So if there were anything, yeah, I was 3 years old. So if there was any type of animosity, it wasn't directly towards me. It would have been cattiness against the parents.
But you know what is interesting? We were at a thing yesterday. She's on a panel and she's getting introduced, and the person introduced her as, and your favorite Rudy Huxtable.
No, they didn't. And she literally
stops and she goes, incorrect. And the moderator was like, what?
Was it a white man?
No.
It actually was a white person. Drag queen.
And she goes,
they felt so bad.
She was like, oh my God, my notes are incorrect. I'm so sorry. That's what she said.
First of all, eight shades different.
IMDb.com. Just start there. Like, fuck. I hate lazy. Everybody doesn't need a fucking podcast. Everybody doesn't need a show. Everybody doesn't need a microphone. Everybody does not need a platform.
Social media has made the
Kardashians have made everybody believe with no talent that they can turn on a mic and a camera and be talented.
Okay, so here's my question. Jesus. I agree with you.
Yes.
How do we change that? Because I fully agree that because of the new technology and the new generation, the talent pool, the celebrity pool is getting watered down.
Yes.
I grew up in a time period where I was on a stage with 100 stars. And you know who those 100 stars were? Whitney Houston, Diana Ross, Muhammad Ali.
But it's hard with this social media thing.
But also you said it earlier, which is I think what's happened now is that there is a difference between wanting to be famous and being someone who has talent.
Yes.
And what we're seeing now more and more, I think as a result of social media and all of the things, is that people are just seeking fame and fame is
because it was hard
way more accessible
it was hard to get in the industry back in the day. You really had to know someone.
You had to be talented.
You had to be talented. Like, I grew up in a time period where my parents told me you have to know how to dance, sing, and act, plain and simple. Shirley Temple is the bass, and if you don't know how to do that, you can't. I have my first album at 5 in the studio, dancing, pirouettes, and all kinds of shit. But now I know how to dance, sing, and act, and each one is at a 25%. Mm. So you're not even reaching 100%. I was at 100% for each of those things by the time I was young. And it was just like, what is happening? So then there's that thing of, we have to say you're good. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to now just say, oh, you're doing so
well. Yeah, Raven really hates the culture of validation and feeling like we have to encourage and like
bad
say
behavior
that.
And bad talent.
Not bad behavior.
But the thing is just rolling up today, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do Raven Simone's podcast. Is that so, Raven? See, so your fame that you earn by way of the talent is going to last forever. It's going to hit multiple demographics. It's going to hit every part of the earth. This other shit, you're going to forget about it.
You're going to forget about it.
I don't know what the Kardashians did for Christmas 3 Christmases ago. I don't know
a Bentley. I don't know.
They had a big party.
But we live in a world, and this is where, when we were talking about beauty earlier, with the big butts and all that.
Yeah.
When I moved to LA, Paris Hilton was that girl, right?
Paris,
Lindsay, Brittany. I remember going to Hollywood. I would just follow the cameras. Like, we got to go to that club because that's where they are. But now, and watching the Kardashians do their thing, I moved to New York for a year, and I had a moment for myself where I had forgotten what real beauty looked like because I got caught up in this plastic fake shit, and then went to New York and saw some girl in Brooklyn with some Timberlands on, thick body, beautiful face. And I was like, yo, that is what beauty back home looks like. That is beauty. This standard that this and this does sometimes, it like fucks the minds
so
of
toxic.
People.
It's so toxic.
And the thing, totally I can't even imagine being a kid growing up in it.
Ooh. Even for me, I grew up in LA, and the beauty standard that I've been around my entire life, even previous or before, oh my God, I can't talk today. Even before the Kardashians was so intense and so just shoved down your throat in your faces in LA specifically. I think that once you get out of LA, there is a difference and you kind of just like get to experience some real people, but it's highly toxic.
And in white culture too, to be honest. In white culture, the toxicity is a lot more than in a black culture. Like, black culture has always embraced the curves and the beauty. You know, there are certain things that we do value in certain seasons. You know, sometimes light-skinned people are on top and sometimes dark-skinned people are on top. That's just how it goes. But in white culture, it's like you have to be this and look exactly like this model, otherwise
that was so very sad. That was so very sad. Much my programming and my messaging and the things that I was around and that totally fucked me up because I want all the talks and all the threads and all the things. But
what's your hobby?
Somebody asked me, I don't have a hobby, I don't think. I mean, I love, I don't have a hobby.
Are you a florist at heart?
I love, now, you know what? I don't have the patience for putting the flowers together, though. But I do have the eye. Like, I love putting that together.
That's a real art.
I wonder if
art.
Jeff Latham, he doesn't actually put the flowers together at this point,
come
right?
on, not at this point, no. You just say yes and move one leaf.
I like this.
So exactly.
Yeah, I do love flowers. I love flowers. I love candles. You know, candles, you know, the other thing I'm starting to love, like, home decor.
Yes.
I would love, like, I interviewed Kathy Ireland a while ago, and she has, do you know she has a home decor?
Yes.
She's making money.
Oh, bank. Yeah.
I didn't even, window. She makes window sills, window bank. Panes. Like, she's making money.
Yeah, there's a lot of money there.
You know, it's interesting you said that because that name is so nostalgic, and I feel like the universe / industry recognizes how long you've been in the industry and gives you certain things, like Jane Seymour, jewelry line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She, Kathy Ireland, Brooke Shields or somebody else had like some
Elizabeth Taylor had all the diamonds.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like once you're in the industry for a while, you get it. The industry's like, oh, you got a couple more years.
Yeah.
I got lucky because I'm at the point I'm going to be hosting Scrabble on the CW in October. And I was telling wifey, I was like, I think it's because I reached that 30-year mark in the industry that the universe was like, here you go, you can have a game show now. And it's like, yes, I made it to old status.
You're a writer though. Huh? You're a writer, and that's...
Well, yes, and I mean, like, I write, and then but I always have to work with a writer to write together, because I can write, and I can put the vision of what I want to do down on paper, but, you know, I like somebody to help me flesh the details out.
When that is the Jason Lee movie coming
out? Oh, I have the sizzle. I'm going to show you when I'm done. Oh, I have a meeting today about it, because once I wrote the book right before COVID, because I keep running into fans and say, well, how do you do this? Or how do you do that? And I'm like, yo, I literally lived through all this shit. Like, how do you watch your brother die and come back? How do you get shot and not walk around with that trauma? How do you have a mom that, you know, so I put it in a book, and it was more of like a gift to people. And then people would read it, and then I would see like coming out stories online or this or that. And I'm like, man, you should write. You should turn this into a movie. So now we are actually turning into a series.
Good.
Yeah. A series or a movie?
Series.
Oh,
I think we're talking. I mean, I think maybe like start with a 27-minute short, get it out there, and then, you know.
Well, if you need a director, I'm here.
And if you need a white girl just to like be in it.
My mama was white.
I could be your mama.
Oh, my mama.
I could be one iteration of your mama.
Oh, you gonna have to.
In a flash, I can be real crazy.
Can you? Oh, she
was
crazy.
Yes, as a Leo, I can attest that she can be.
Hey,
crazy.
We are great at what we do. If you're gonna be crazy, you gotta be real fucking crazy.
I have to say that this has all made me very happy.
Aww, I feel fulfilled.
I feel like we've done good work.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
I think we helped some people.
We should toast.
Yes,
this is the toast.
Is this a frog?
Look at that ass.
Look at that Kardashian ass. Okay, today's toast goes to all the Leos. All the Leos out there. Because it's this one's birthday next week. It was my birthday the other week. And
as Sagges, we hold y'all up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a simple little toast, but it sure does make me happy. Jason, thank you so much for being here. You've been wonderful. I think you're really great. I think you're incredibly smart, so well spoken. I've really enjoyed this, and I hope that we can say that this is the beginning of a nice friendship.
Yeah, and I can't wait until you come on my show.
Yes.
I was actually sitting here thinking while you guys were talking, I love how it starts off a little messy. Because I don't know all the Simba and anti-Kardashian jokes that were done on this show.
Like 6,000.
But I'll read them online. Oh, the beehive is coming for you. Oh, this has been a great episode. Don't cut shit out. And the reenactment of the Simba off camera.
Just can't wait to be king.
See, now Bob Iger, you want to save Disney? Book that.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.